Monty Show, Thursday, May 31st, and it's the NBA Finals Game 1. Tyronn Lue said something fascinating about his health. We got to talk about that. By the way, Game 1 of the NBA Finals not sold out. You want to buy a ticket, there's about 500 available. I'm not sure how that's possible. We'll talk about that. We got to talk about the Patriots not being fun. The Cubs aren't lovable anymore, apparently. The millennial moved out of his parents' house. It's all good. Hi, Jake.
Hi.
Mr. Happy.
Dude, I'm in a fine mood. You're telling me I'm not in a good mood. I'm in a fine mood. I'm good, dude.
I asked. Jake the Pitbull on the show today. Make sure you find the show on Twitter, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. You can find us on iHeartRadio. You can find us on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, wherever you buy your podcasts at, or download. You don't really buy it. Your podcasts are free. But wherever you get your podcasts, you can find The Monty Show. Game 1 underway in Oakland. Very early, 6-6. Steph's already got a 3. Are you at all interested in this series? And maybe at all is a bit much. I'm not jumping up and down excited about this series. I am one of the guys who's like, eh. Because I know that this series is probably going to go 5 games. It'll be 4-1. Golden State's going to win it. I just don't think there's a lot of compelling inside of this series.
No, there's not. I mean, it's definitely not the Kyrie and LeBron versus the Warriors series that we all, loved. And still look back on as a great series. But, this is what I was saying kind of yesterday. It's the NBA Finals. Like, I'm still excited for it. It's easily one of my favorite championships in sports. Everybody says the Super Bowl is the best championship. I disagree with that. I think if there's a great matchup in the NBA Finals, it's right up there. Certainly the World Series is right up there. And obviously NHL, but, I don't know. It's basketball. I love basketball. I love watching LeBron play for his legacy that he's never going to get this year.
What does that mean?
Like, he's never going to win this year. We all know that, right? Like, you just said that. Like, we all know it's going to be a 5-game series. It's going to be a 4-1 win for the Warriors. And LeBron's going to, come to another the decision moment in his career.
Do you care about LeBron? You see, and this is something I think is interesting. I think you either care about LeBron or you hate LeBron. I don't think there's an indifference. I think, and it's not I love him or hate him. I think you care or you hate him, period. And it's odd to me that there's not a lot of LeBron love. Outside of Cleveland, I don't know that there's a whole lot of people who'd say, oh yeah, LeBron's my favorite player.
I don't know. It's well documented. He's not my favorite player. Everyone knows who my favorite player is. But, LeBron is – there's no doubting LeBron's one of the best ever, right? Like, so he has that going for him. But I think he's easy to hate, right? Like, he's
why?
That guy.
But why, though?
Because he's the guy that's supposed to be the best ever, better than MJ, better than Kobe, like, best ever player. And he's lost in the finals repeatedly. And so we get into this debate, and then I find myself leaving the debate thinking – I can't justify him being the best ever.
So you blame him for the losses?
Oh, he's certainly hugely responsible for losing, yeah.
And what I say about that is if he's going to get credit for their wins, he certainly deserves some credit for their losses.
Yeah.
Even though I think he's been quite good in the finals, and I don't necessarily believe it's his fault that they've lost, but I've evolved on LeBron James. There was a long period of time where I was simply a Michael Jordan apologist. I grew up in Chicago. I love the guy. He's my all-time favorite player. Great. I'm going to hate LeBron. That was probably the first 5 years of his career. And then he got to the NBA Finals and he lost. And it's like I almost wrote him off. Because you can't get to the NBA Finals and lose. But now I see a situation like we're watching this team that has no business being in the finals.
Right.
Yet here they are solely because of LeBron James. The Pacers series, the Toronto game winner. He's had all of these moments.
Yeah.
Certainly the win in Boston has to be, I'm not going to say one of his signature wins, but boy, that's a big win. To torch Boston in a game 7 like that, oh man. In the Garden, oh man. Like, those are big moments for a guy like LeBron. But I think the thing I'll never get over is still him leaving Cleveland to go to Miami. And I think it knocks him down a peg. But if you want to truly look at LeBron James, I just don't think the guy wins enough. I think he is the best player in the world and has been for some time, right?
Yeah.
But I just struggle with the idea that right now I think he's 3-5 in the NBA Finals or something like that. I struggle with the idea that he will lose twice as many as he has won when this series is over. Like, I have a huge problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, I have that same problem. He's the best player in the NBA right now, best all-around player. You need him to play defense. You need him to score, post up. Like, just in all the little, you know, facets of the game, he's the best player in the league, man. It is what it is. Like, you know, but as far as greatness goes, I think everybody's definition of all-time greatness is different. I'm with you. I go by winning because that's why you play the game, right? Like, anytime you're trying to measure how great somebody is at something, you just go off of why they're doing it, and you play NBA basketball to win. And so, yeah, you're exactly right. When you lose twice as much as you win in the biggest moments, yeah, I mean, you're probably not the best ever.
But isn't it very – there's something that is amazing about him going to the finals all these years in a row. There's something amazing that this is the fourth year in a row that we're going to see – Cavs and Warriors, and he's the common denominator for the Cavs. There's something amazing about that.
Yeah.
And I don't think he gets enough credit for that. And I still think there is many more people who like to hate on LeBron than respect LeBron. And I want it to be said on game one of the NBA Finals in 2018, I respect the hell out of LeBron. I don't believe in the, is he better than Michael Jordan? Is he better than Kobe Bryant? I just don't believe in those conversations. Because inevitably, what do you have to do? You have to knock one down to build one up. And I just don't think you need to do that with guys of this caliber. I just don't believe in that. I respect LeBron James. I don't love LeBron James. And I don't know how to explain that any better than this.
Yeah.
And that is that he just, in the biggest moment in his career, he's not won enough. And if the hype machine is going to push him up to the elite and the best ever, he has to win more.
Yeah.
That really is my point.
Well, and that is what separates. I mean, if you're going to try and compare him and you're not going to use titles as a factor, special moments in the finals are what separate him from the Kobes and the Jordans, because those guys had really special moments in the finals, like all-time defining moments. And Ray Allen had LeBron's moment for him. Right, like he made that huge shot, and that's why they won that game. You know, like yeah. So. I don't know. You're right. It's not fair to compare them all. Inevitably, we all do it at one point or another every season.
But you're gonna have won 3 and lost 6.
Yeah, and
that's
and
hard
look
for
out
me
if
to swallow.
If he doesn't lose 7 or 8, because he's gonna get back again. This won't be the last year he gets back. I don't think. I think he'll get back again.
See,
after
and
this.
I think, and this is part of LeBron's greatness. We take it for granted that after this year he'll be back. You know how hard it is to get to the NBA Finals?
Yeah, I mean, if he stays in the East, you know, I think now, after this year, he just went through a window where there was really nothing stopping him from getting to the Finals the last, like, 5 years. Like, in the East has just not been a good conference in for a good chunk of his career. And I'm not saying that to downgrade LeBron, but what I'm saying is that we're expecting him to get there, not because he's been just so over-the-top great, but because the East is soft.
Boy, an awkward fall for Klay Thompson. J.R. Smith fell down behind him, and I think Klay Thompson fell on... Oh, it's his ankle. Ow. Oh, it's his ankle, yeah. It's his left ankle. Ooh, boy, that could be a pivotal moment.
Not intentional out of J.R.
No, he slipped. His feet came right out from... Oh, man. Yeah, it's absolutely his left ankle and knee, and Klay's already had a knee injury in these playoffs. Ooh. That's ugly. But anyway, here nor there. My point is, I'm not the guy that hates LeBron James. I struggle with that.
I don't hate him. I just don't love him the way I love Durant and Curry. And I don't even love Harden. I enjoy watching Harden play more than I do LeBron sometimes. You know, this postseason, I've definitely enjoyed watching LeBron more than Harden, because I think Harden has just, it just seems like it's over his head.
LeBron, the problem is LeBron's a hell of a lot more likable than James Harden.
He really is.
James Harden, and I don't know how this happened. Ooh, Klay Thompson out of the game, limping back to the locker room. Oh boy, this is significant. This is a big, big moment 6 minutes into game one of the NBA Finals, trailing by three, Klay Thompson goes to the locker room. That's a big moment. Iguodala.
We'll see what the outcome of that is. I would agree it sucks he's going to the locker room, but I think if he's out, that makes it a big deal. If he's just going back there to get it taped up and, you know, getting a shot or something, all right, he can still play.
Just taping it up, put a needle in it,
we'll
be fine.
It's the NBA Finals. Grow up. Like, get back out here. You're still walking. You can still run on it. You're good. It's not like you broke your ankle off.
Yeah, the funny thing is I've written this series off at 4-1, and something tells me not to do that. And the 12.5-point line that is the Golden State Warriors as a favorite.
I think it's going to be some cakewalk for the Warriors. I think the games are going to be a lot closer than people think because inevitably the Warriors will have a terrible shooting night.
If you were betting on this game tonight, wouldn't you take the Cavs to cover the 12.5?
Yeah. If you wanted to make money,
that's a huge number.
Yeah.
That's a huge number in an NBA Finals game to win by 12.5. So essentially you're saying you're going to win by 13 points?
Yeah.
That's a huge number. Huge number. I don't know. It'll be interesting to watch. I'm a little surprised this game is not sold out. And I'm curious if there is some burnout factor. This is the fourth year in a row that we're seeing this. I do believe. And this isn't Lakers Celtics. This is not, you know, the iconic franchises. And maybe this is the problem. This is LeBron versus the Warriors.
Yes.
Right. Like, the Warriors are a group of very likable guys outside of Draymond Green. And as we've talked about on the show, I almost give KD a pass because I don't think he left Oklahoma City. I think he left Russell Westbrook. So I don't vilify him the way some do. But I think there is burnout on LeBron versus the Warriors.
Yeah.
It's not the land. It's not a group of 12 guys trying to beat the Golden State Warriors. This is LeBron James against the Golden State Warriors. And I think there's a burnout factor on that. And this is ultimately why I started talking about this with LeBron. Is there a burnout factor on LeBron James? Are people tired of LeBron in the finals for the 15th straight year?
Eighth year in a row, dude.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It is.
And granted, there were those years in Miami.
Listen,
and
I'm not faulting the guy for going to the finals 8 years in a row. That in and of itself is a great accomplishment. But I agree, it would have been nice to see, you know, different teams in the finals this year, whether that was the Rockets coming out of the West versus LeBron or the Celtics coming out of the East versus the Warriors. That would have been nice.
Yeah. I think there's a huge burnout factor. And in Oakland, San Francisco, the Bay Area, where the Warriors are kings of the world, you flip on 95.7 The Game in San Francisco, and there is a palatable excitement, yet there are still unsold lower bowl seats. That's surprising.
Yeah.
I'm surprised by that. Maybe I shouldn't be, but I am surprised by that. So my struggle is, I do think there is burnout factor on this. It's awkward to me that this starts on a Thursday night. It's the scheduling of this. Why would you not start this on a Sunday? The NBA, like, and that's the other thing. I just think the NBA is in a really important position. You've got to start something new.
Yeah.
The NBA needs something new.
It needs the East to get good. It needs the Celtics and the Sixers to be a rivalry, man. Like, that's,
yeah,
they
I would agree with that.
That.
I would agree with that.
And then they need the Lakers to actually be something.
And again, I'm a guy that loves the Utah Jazz. Okay, I've become a casual observer of that team. Small market teams are important. But for a league like the NBA to thrive, you need the Knicks.
Yeah.
You need the Lakers. I'm a Chicago guy. The NBA doesn't need the Bulls to thrive. You need the Lakers. The Warriors, I think, now have become that. The Lakers, the Warriors, the Knicks. The Sixers is a very good one. I think you need those iconic brands to thrive. And I do think you need rivalries. You need the Celtics and you need the Sixers. You need the Lakers and the Celtics. You need the Knicks and the Lakers. You need Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka to rebuild that franchise.
Yeah.
And you need that now. And that's why I think it's weird that they say Chris Paul's already recruiting Paul George, which I don't know how true that is.
I mean,
they say that, you know, CP3's already recruiting LeBron James. Like, come on. I, I have a hard time believing that Houston becomes the epicenter for NBA basketball.
Yeah.
Now, it would be a hell of a lot easier to go to Houston and win than it would be go to the Lakers and win.
Yeah.
Because if you add LeBron and you bring back CP3 to that team, that's a very good basketball team. And if you add Paul George to CP3 and James Harden, that's a very good basketball team. That's a team that can beat the Warriors, I think.
Yeah.
But there's just, there's something to me that says that doesn't feel right. Like, why is Paul George picking the Rockets over the Lakers? Why would LeBron pick the Rockets over the Lakers with
because
all of his
Lakers
business
are,
dealings?
Lakers, I feel like the Lakers are still in, they're still wearing that rebuilding badge, right? Like, it would be, like, you can see the path of where they're going.
Right,
and
but the moment
the
you buy
line.
Two superstars, they're not a rebuilding team anymore. You need two stars to make a run in the Western Conference. And if one of those stars is LeBron James, it almost doesn't matter who that second guy is. If you have a legit number two, it's why Kevin Love is not the guy that LeBron needs, right? LeBron needs another legit.
Yeah.
He needs Dwayne Wade. He needs a Kobe to his Shaq. You know what I'm saying? He needs that McHale to his Bird. He needs that thing. And he has not had that since he left Wake County, Florida. And I think he doesn't, I don't know if he gets that in Houston. You know what I mean? James Harden is an awkward guy to play with. This is what I say about Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is no walk in the park when it comes to playing. He is not a desirable guy. Does everybody understand that Russell Westbrook's not a guy that Paul George is like, I love playing with Russell Westbrook. How could I leave OKC? I guarantee you those words have never flowed from thy lips.
Yeah.
Because nobody loves playing with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're exactly right. It's why KD left. It's why
Harden didn't have trouble being traded away.
Yeah.
It's why he went and built his own thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot to legacies. I think there's a lot to enjoy the enjoyment factor of winning. You don't have to love the guys you play with, but you have to enjoy playing with them.
Yeah.
If LeBron hated playing with Kev, J.R. Smith, if he hated playing with Dwayne Wade, they wouldn't have lasted the way they did. The Cavs wouldn't have lasted the way they have if LeBron didn't enjoy playing with the guys he's playing with.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important element of all of this. And that's why I say I would not count on a gimme that for sure LeBron's going to Houston or I think he leaves, but I don't think Houston is a destination.
I don't think it's a destination. I certainly don't think it's a destination for LeBron. You're right. LeBron needs to go somewhere where he's the guy and it's everybody else because that's how it's always been on LeBron James' team, right? Like, even when he had Wade, right? And even when he had Kyrie, it was still LeBron's team.
But Chris Broussard said something interesting. I saw him on... It's some show. It might have been The Jump that was talking about, whatever it was. Chris Broussard said that LeBron people are telling everyone that he wants to be off the basketball next year. He does not want to bring the ball up. He does not want to be on the ball. He wants to move away from the basketball. He wants to play off the ball because it's easier.
Yeah.
And it gives him more freedom.
He doesn't have to work as hard because, frankly, he works really hard for the Cavs.
Isn't that why Houston's a great fit?
It could be, but I think there's a difference between playing with just an okay point guard who's not an all-star every year and he's just going to bring it up and feed you versus playing with a guy like James Harden who's arguably the best scorer in the league and an all-star and is going to be a double-digit
and
all-star.
And holds the ball too much.
And holds the ball. And then you get Chris Paul. Like, Chris Paul would work, right? Like, Chris Paul and LeBron James would absolutely work.
Yes.
Because Chris Paul's a floor general and wants and is a willing passer.
Correct.
And only shoots when he shoots situationally. That's
correct.
The best way to put
it. I would
it.
Agree with that.
James Harden is not an ideal candidate for LeBron James to play with. They certainly could make it work and have made it work in the Olympics. Yeah, I think Ben Simmons would work. Certainly he'd work.
Fultz?
Yeah. Fultz would work because Fultz is the guy who's who's really changing his career by playing with LeBron.
I just think they're too young. LeBron doesn't need a project. You know what I mean?
But then if you're going to say that about the Sixers, wouldn't we say that about the Lakers as well?
Because again, if LeBron goes to the Lakers, he's not going alone. LeBron's going to the Lakers with a Paul George. He's going to the Lakers with somebody.
Yeah.
And that means that other guys won't be there. I think it's Lonzo Ball that's on the way out. I think the writing's on the wall, and I know we talked about this on the show yesterday.
The right thing to do.
I think the Lakers will trade Lonzo Ball. If they get LeBron plus one, they get, let's call it Paul George. If they get LeBron and Paul George, I think they're trading Lonzo Ball because it's just become, LeVar has become too tenuous. It used to be cool that LeVar was a loudmouth, and I think it actually helped the kids along. Now it's not cool anymore.
Yeah,
it's very clear he's damaged LiAngelo and LaMelo.
Wrong tree, dude.
Yeah, I think and now Lonzo is being negatively affected by the way LeVar rips the coaching staff. By the way, LeVar rips the organization and the trainers and the cafeteria workers and the guy who cleans the window. He's ripping at the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, he just makes so much noise that I think even if Lonzo wanted to be great, he couldn't be.
Yeah,
because how are you supposed to go to the gym every day and lift your weights, which he is, and get your shots up and just do everything you need to do as a basketball player if you have all this noise going on outside?
Yeah, I think you need. The other odd thing is we have not seen basketball videos from Lonzo Ball, which is a little interesting to me. Now we've seen him at the gym and we know he's working out. He was at LiAngelo's workout and had clearly been working on drills. So, this is something he's clearly working, right? But I want to see more. I want Lonzo Ball to want to be the best, and I have no idea if that's the case.
Like, I think for the first time in Lonzo's life, there's no hype machine about Lonzo, right? Like, the hype machine's about Jello working out for the Lakers instead of Lonzo fixing that shot, or not even fixing it, or just getting shots up, making hype videos. That's what these guys do in the summer.
Like, did you read anything into the IMG Academy where you had Donovan Mitchell, where you had Paul George, you had a bunch of free agents to be in a guy like a Donovan Mitchell, a bunch of talent hanging out at the IMG Pro Day? What do you make of that?
I think it's what you always say. Basketball players, like born in the flesh basketball players who just all they do is basketball 24/7, go to things like that because they want to see the next generation.
And they want to be around like humans.
Yeah.
Other basketball players.
They don't want to be a star around everybody. They just want to be around guys that are like them. Yeah. And I totally get that.
Yeah.
Because every waking second, they're walking down the street in the city.
Autograph, picture, autograph, selfie.
Like, right? Like, and they can't do anything about that because they're so freakishly tall that they stand out.
I got bad news for you, dude. Your boy, KD, is keeping the Cavs in this game. Turnover after turnover. I believe that's three straight possessions he's turned it over. So, we'll see. 30-29 very early at the end of the first quarter here. Game one. Real quick on Tyronn Lue. I think it's interesting that Ty Lue gave an interview today and he said that his medical problem this year was anxiety.
It's real.
It's incredibly brave. Now, you'll remember that he stepped away from the Cavs for a minute because he was having severe chest pain and he was coughing up blood. He said today that that was all anxiety induced, and he is now on medication and feels much, much better. I think that's remarkable for Tyronn Lue to sit down and say that. And then he threw in that there is a lot of expectations. Coaching LeBron leads to scrutiny. Increased scrutiny.
It does. I agree.
That you didn't know that when you took the job?
I mean, I think it's probably hard to quantify it, right? Like hey, I'm coaching LeBron, so there's going to be scrutiny.
Yeah.
But to really have an understanding and a grasp of just how much weight is on you and how much expectation there is as the head coach of a LeBron James-led team, I don't think you can quantify that.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear him say that. He essentially said the job has induced anxiety attacks in him.
Yeah, and by the way, he's not the only guy saying that. Like, other DeMar's come out, Kevin Love wrote a piece. Like, there's been several guys who have said, like, there it's either depression or anxiety or, like, well, just these negative effects.
Being a professional athlete, and this is going to sound moronic, being a professional athlete can be incredibly isolating.
Yeah.
Especially when you are a guy like LeBron James and you have a bad game. If you are a guy like Kevin Love who's got an enormous amount of pressure to contribute and you're not, if you are a guy like Tyronn Lue and this year your team was horrendous, they traded everybody on the roster except LeBron essentially, you know, and Kev. But I understand that. I get that. But it was a very brave conversation for him to have.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you put yourself in a vulnerable place, I mean, you're bringing on accountability, you're bringing on just like real talk, and I think anytime you do that, it brings a lot of respect out of your players.
Yeah,
you know, Tyronn didn't need to do that, but he did it. You know, so I give him all the credit.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch what happens with LeBron when they lose this series. Because I think if they get swept, he's leaving Cleveland without a doubt. Is he leaving Cleveland no matter what? I think that's the real question to ask here.
The wise thing to do is to leave.
When you say the wise thing to do.
The wise thing to do for your career is to leave Cleveland. To get to the final stage of your career. The next team you play for is the last team you play for. In my opinion, that's how it should be.
And you believe that?
Yeah, I mean, that's how it should be. Like, that would be his career path. Like, that's how he set it up.
All right.
And if that is the Lakers or if that is the Sixers, either way, that should be the last team you play for.
If this is the last team he's going to play for, it's got to be the Lakers.
I agree. That would be a great thing to happen. I don't know how – I'd be curious to see how fans would receive that and would look at that and view that.
Oh, Laker fans would love that.
Well – of
Laker
course.
Fans would be head over heels. Cavs fans.
LA fans aren't great fans, though, by the way. I think LA fans would
sure.
just love the hype machine. I think true NBA fans, I don't know how they'd feel about it.
If he wins a championship, there's no reason for him to go back. Because when he leaves there, he can say, well, look, I won two championships here. It's time for me to move on in life.
Yeah.
If he loses, he doesn't have that same ability. Because now... a championship 2 years ago feels like 5 years ago.
And if he loses and then goes to the Lakers for a, not a super team, but for a high caliber talent team, how do people, you know, view him? Because KD got just absolutely shredded for it.
Yeah, but I think, I don't know that LeBron cares about that. He's one of the truly unique guys who I just don't think he cares about all that noise. I think everybody, I agree everybody likes to be loved. I don't think he lives on that.
Yeah.
I think Kevin Durant lives on that. When you get caught using burner Twitter accounts to defend yourself like Kevin Love or like Kevin Durant did, that tells me that you care. I don't think LeBron cares. I don't think it's the end of the world for him if people rip him.
Right.
And he's been through it once before. Anyway, here nor there. Let's talk about the New England Patriots who really don't care. Obviously, this story has legs. This Cassius Marsh story. Cassius Marsh is a subpar football player who leaves the New England Patriots for the 49ers and now has said that it is no fun. There is nothing happy about playing for the New England Patriots. First of all, I don't believe that. I don't think that's true. Second of all, I think the New England Patriots are not for everybody. That's what I think. I think if you want to be a New England Patriot, there needs to be some expectation that you are going to go there to win a Super Bowl. The only thing that matters is Super Bowls, not conference championships or division championships or wild card games. It's a Super Bowl championship. And you better understand, as long as he's the head coach, that it's Bill's way or no way. If that takes your fun away from you, you're probably not a Patriot. You know, I thought what Dante Hightower said, it's harder than most places to play in New England.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how it should be. Do you agree with that? What are your thoughts on
that? You know, I think I agree that it's an exaggeration to say there's no fun in New England. I think professional athletes will find a way to have fun at one point or another. But I do think that, yeah, the Patriots have put themselves in a position where, yeah, it is an all-business franchise. I mean, that's what they are about, winning, dude.
He benched Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He doesn't care if you have fun. Yeah. He wants to win.
Bill doesn't care if you have fun, but for a player to say that there's no fun ever, it's just not true. I mean, I don't buy it.
But here's the problem with that. It's not Bill Belichick's job to make sure that you are one of the guys and you're having a good time. It's his job to make sure he gets the most from you and the team wins a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I've been in so many locker rooms where it was not a great locker room. Again, I talked about it yesterday, not to be redundant. The Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick changeover that happened in San Francisco was one of the worst locker rooms ever. I think it played a part in Patrick Willis retiring early. I think it played a major part. He didn't love being a 49er anymore.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that had to do with the guys around and the fact they couldn't handle Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
I think there was a good part of that. I don't think Jim Harbaugh is unlike Bill Belichick. Now, success-wise and ability and acumen, I'm giving that to Bill Belichick all day. But they're stylistically, they're not that different.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, especially with football players are always a rowdy bunch. You know, that's just who they are as people. And I think when you, as Bill Belichick, are constantly just laying down the hammer and saying, business, 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 eventually guys are going to say, yeah, but then there's going to be a little fun too.
But it's not his job to make sure players
have
fun. Right,
and nobody's saying that it's his job.
But I think that's the assumption, because when you have a guy like Marsh coming out and saying, oh, it's not fun, there's nothing fun there. There's nothing fun about being, it's not happy.
Well, then Bill Belichick's coaching style isn't for him.
Right, but somebody needs to say, well, what about Tom Brady? Oh, what about Dante Hightower? Did you fit in with the defensive group? Because I don't hear Danny Amendola bitching about not having any fun. I don't hear Tom Brady bitching about not having any fun, even though he's not there now. But you get my point. It's the player's job. It's the guys you hang out with. There's something I think a lot of people don't realize is in NFL locker rooms, there's so many guys on the team that there are cliques in the locker room. And a lot of times it's positional. You know, I have vivid memories of Jerry Porter and Randy Moss being terrible influences on the rest of the young wide receivers in Oakland. I have vivid memories of lots of cliques and groups like that.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. You can't... Why do you think the Cardinals have sucked for the last 3 years? Because you had a bunch of mature players like Larry Fitzgerald and Carson Palmer who liked each other and hang out together. And then there was a bunch of other guys that were really, you know, Robert Kendici didn't have friends on that team. So he was isolated. I mean, the cliques in the locker room make or break your teams. And in New England, there are cliques in that locker room that work. And up until the Super Bowl last year, worked.
Right.
Now they got to reinvent that. And they have McCourty there. They have guys like Hightower there. You have guys that are still fundamentally part of what's right with that organization.
Yeah.
It's not Bill Belichick's job to make sure people like each other and that they have fun and that they go out to Chuck E. Cheese with each other on their off nights.
Right, but wouldn't you say that part of having success is having high team camaraderie, like to a certain extent?
Chemistry? Yes. Everybody's, when you talk about camaraderie, everybody's friends? No. No. It doesn't, you don't have to love each other to win. The 85-86 Chicago Bears didn't love each other, but what did they do? They were the players and the coaches, very separate and a lot of times against each other. But those players always had fun and they stayed in their cliques. And that's what success is. The chemistry, the offense doesn't have to like the defense. The wide receivers don't have to like the quarterback. In New England, Randy Moss, I guarantee you, respected Tom Brady. Because without Tom Brady, Randy Moss was never going to get to where he wanted to go, and ultimately he didn't. But if you look at the way NFL teams, and this is not like baseball, it is not like freaking the NBA is a completely different animal because you have 12, 15 guys. The NFL is a massive locker room. And it is a melting pot of personalities, you know, ethnicities, it just all of this stuff. You have, you know, Muslims and Catholics and you know, you have guys that just are from different backgrounds and believe different things, yet somehow, and this is, I think, to your point, the best teams ever find a way to fit together.
Yeah.
And the Patriots have always found a way to fit together until they didn't.
And I think that the Patriot juju of sorts, they're just that thing you can't put your thumb on that they have, seems to have run out a little bit the last 2 years or so. It seems like now they're starting to have to work a little harder to get the magic back, you know? It seemed like every year you were always like, oh, Patriots 10-2. Yep, that's Patriots.
Well, and that's because you don't have Randy Moss anymore. You have Chris Hogan. And yet you still are getting the most out of a Chris Hogan because of who's throwing him the football, in my opinion. And I think when you run the kind of talent through and you still win Super Bowls that the Patriots have, I think there are going to be some rough patches.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. I think there is something there that they're not fun and happy. I don't think that this is a big deal. I think this is Cassius Marsh not being a great football player. And if you're not a great football player and you are not mentally tough, you're not going to make it in New England because you have to be something very different to win a Super Bowl with the Patriots. That's been proven over and over again, whether it's Moss, LeGarrette Blount. Think of the pain-in-the-ass football player that's gone there and had big-time success or won Super Bowls. It's because, and I hate the phrase the Patriot way, but it's because of the Patriot way. You know, and I think that's significant. Speaking of not having fun.
Yeah.
You may know this if you listen to this show at all, but I'm a little bit of a Cub fan. When we talk Cubs, I say we and our and us, and I am born a Cub fan. I bleed blue. I just love that freaking team. So when I hear former baseball people and really current and past baseball people say that the Cubs are no longer lovable, I say good, because I don't want us to be lovable. Because when you think of the Cubs, the lovable losers,
yeah,
with the GOAT and Ronnie Woo Woo and Little Wrigley Field.
I think it takes
Field.
Time to get away from that. Like I know they've won already and they've broken the curse and they've done all those things. But I think it takes time to change your image 100% from the lovable losers to a good every single year team.
But I also think the way that they won the World Series and with who makes a huge difference. Because Javi Baez is pissing people off. Let's just call it what it is. Javi Baez pisses people off. Anthony Rizzo pisses people off. The slides, I said the other day, I think it really disappointed me that those two slides were very dirty, in my opinion. People don't like that style. They'd much rather have a very quiet and unassuming Chris Bryant on all eight position players. Just give me eight Chris Bryant-type personalities. They don't want Bryce Harper admiring home runs.
Yeah.
They don't want Ronald Acuna. They don't want... pick your poison. Like, this is... Not to keep talking about the Red Sox, who we're going to talk about in a minute, but this is David Ortiz, Big Pappy, when he, you know, raised the bat, and they finally got over.
Yeah.
Like, you're never going to be the most popular team. You're going to have a huge bandwagon, but baseball people are probably going to hate you when you do what the Red Sox and the Cubs did, which is why I bring this up, because I think they're very similar. And by the way, thanks for giving us Theo. The point is, the Cubs are young, they're edgy, and most importantly, they're very good. And Javi Baez is very good. And he plays with a chip on his shoulder, he wears a mohawk, he dyes his hair.
Plays flashy.
He wears bright Oakleys.
Swings out of his shoes every pitch.
That's who he is. And that's going to piss people off.
And my thing with people getting mad at that is, like, you know that's who Javi is. Why does it upset you? It's not as though he's swinging out of his shoes just facing you. He literally swings out of his shoes every single pitch.
And you have, you know, you have repercussion for that.
Which if you don't, they didn't take against Rizzo, which I'm still surprised about. Really, like, you can say what you want about the slide. Either way, he should have been beat.
Oh,
like,
he'll get hit at some point. They will throw at Anthony Rizzo at some point. I always say it's not early anymore. It's Memorial Day. It's not early anymore. There's a lot of Pirate Cup baseball to come, and they will get to him. Anyway, my point is,
yeah,
the Cubs are. I don't want the Cubs to be lovable anymore. I don't need the Cubs to be lovable anymore. I need them to be good. I need them to win.
But I don't think they're that team that people love to hate either. I think they're slowly just becoming that pain in the ass.
I think the bandwagon has a hell of a lot less passengers at this point. I think that they are a very difficult team to play against. When you have a lineup that is with guys like Rizzo, Bryant, Contreras, Javi, John Lester.
Yeah.
When you have those guys and you have to go against those guys 3 or 4 days in a row, it will grind you. It will grind you. And when you have guys like Addison Russell that are struggling and the Cubs are like, we'll just go get Manny Machado. Or at least the rumor mill's like, we'll just go get Manny Machado.
Do you think that's why Theo shut that down?
I do. Because I think the talk and the hype had become too much. And I think Theo did the exact right thing because you don't want people talking about that.
Yeah.
You don't need people talking about that. But this idea that the Cubs are no longer lovable, I'm like, duh, where have you been? Jim Duquette, come on. Like I care, what Jim Duquette has to say about the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah.
About the Chicago Cubs. I really don't care what Jim Duquette has to say. He's not a bad dude. And I think he's exactly right. They're not lovable anymore. But he says they're a tired act.
I don't buy that at all.
I don't buy that at all. If the Cubs are on TV, you're going to watch.
Dude, the Cubs aren't a tired act the way LeBron in the finals is a tired act. Right? Like, the Cubs are still a team
I agree.
That we, in the proverbial, we love to watch. And watching, and even this year, like, think about this. If people hate the Cubs so much, then why are you watching them and enjoying them losing?
Well, and the other thing is that if you hate the Cubs so much, I love that because that means they're good. It's why I hate the Spurs. It's why so many people hate the Patriots, because they're good.
Yeah.
When you're really good, more people should hate you than love you. And it's the Red Sox, the Yankees. You pick the best teams in any sport.
Yeah.
People will hate them. And that's why I say I just don't have that much of a... I'm not going to have a bunch of heartburn over this. I'm not going to be all pissed off over this, you know, because it tells me that the Cubs are on the right track. I wish they would win more.
Yeah, this year's definitely been a fight. There's no question about that.
Wow, that's an improvement based on things that you've said about us.
No, I don't think that. I think I've been fairly consistent on the Cubs. I've always said that, you know, this year, you know, I thought they would come around a little bit offensively, and I think they have come around a little bit. They're certainly not playing to their potential, and they're certainly not putting up the numbers they should be putting
up. Chris Bryant's going into a slump. I'm telling you that right now. And they're beating the Mets 4-1 tonight in New York.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're not playing like the best they've ever played with this group of guys. Clearly, this season has not gone the way they wanted it to go. But that doesn't mean the season's over or they suck. They're still a great team. They're just not playing well.
Yeah, Bryant's 1-for-3, hitting .282 now.
That's at least doable. .282 is fine.
Right, and the bigger thing here is that a guy like Jason Hayward now is way on the way up. He's 2-for-5 at .262 now.
Better.
So, I mean, you have...
But that's why this game is awesome, isn't it? Because you have 162 games. And even if you piss off your fan base for 40 of those games... By the time the All-Star break gets here, Bryant could be hitting .300 and nobody will have remembered what April and May were like.
Well, and I think the more important thing for the Cubs is that Quintana gave them a really nice start. 6 innings, 3 hits, no earned. That's a big deal. He walks 2K6. Like, that's a big deal for the Cubs.
If he could just do that or anything like it every time out, they'd be fine.
Yeah. And my guy in the grave, I think he plays baseball from the grave. Ben Zobrist today hit a home run, his fourth.
Still contributing.
For the Cubs. By the way, the Cavs have a little daylight here. 51-43, 4:50 to go in the first half. You at all concerned?
Nah.
As Jake turns his head and sees the Cavs miss a three, and Steph is running wildly down the middle of the floor. I don't know that I'd be concerned either. two straight behind-the-back passes.
Game, you know what, dude? It's game one, right? Like, game one is just a beast in and of itself.
And Steph Curry just slammed a layup in. Like, threw it off the backboard hard. 51-45. We'll keep you up to date on that. But here, nor there. I think the Cubs are hitting a little better. My question, again, is guys like Ian Happ, who's 0 for 4 with 2 Ks, he's hitting .237. At what point do you say, A, by the way, he's not catching the ball at all in center field, because Ian Happ's an infielder, not an outfielder. And I still don't know why you're not playing Al Mora every day in center field. Just my opinion.
I think Al Mora pulls his weight defensively, and by the way, he does give you some pop. I think Ian Happ just has more development left to do. You know, he hit that home run to lead off the season, and we thought they won the World Series, right? Like, he's still got a lot of development to do. He's very talented, but he's got a lot left.
He strikes out far too often. I'm telling you, the Cubs can't win a World Series with Happ in center field. He's not a major league outfielder.
Right, and I agree with that, and I think he needs to be that bench player for you right now. He needs to be the guy that he can play center field. Right, like he can do it. You don't want him starting every day, and you certainly don't want to be platooning him with Al Mora, which is pretty much what they're doing, and I'm not a huge fan of that. He should be the guy that's pinch hitting for you, coming in late inning games.
Correct.
To play a little defense in left. Like that's what he should be, and he should be a pinch hitter that you bring in to maybe see if he can give you a double in the gap or something. He needs to develop more.
Well, and I think we're starting to see a lot more injuries across Major League Baseball now. This Pedroia Betts thing in Boston, I have not wavered. I think the Boston Red Sox are still the best team in baseball. If Betts is out for an extended amount of time, I think you're going to struggle because he's so important to who that team is. And, I mean, I would love to see Pedroia back in the lineup, but I think they're doing enough without him.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's the big one. I think, again, and I told you yesterday, Jackie Bradley now is at 200, excuse me.
Wow.
1 for 2 today. If Jackie, and he's going to start hitting. I believe that he will start hitting. And I'm not telling you that he's going to, you know, jack a bunch of bombs and hit you 30 doubles. But I am telling you that Jackie Bradley's better than 196, 200.
Yes, he's a 260, 270 hitter, and he plays Gold Glove center field. That's what he is.
Yeah, that's why I think that this team still is not playing as well as they are capable of playing. And if he ever figures it out and continues this climb, if he can, like I said, if he can just get to 235, 240, he's going to be just fine. And this team is only going to get better, but he's got to, and I know I keep saying this, he's got to find a way to be better than the 170, 180, 190 hitter that he has been. And I think over the last week or so, he started to pull out of that. And if he can keep these 1 for 3s and 2 for 4s going, they're going to be unbeatable.
Yeah.
They're going to be unbeatable. Now, having said they're the best team in baseball, they are losing to the Astros.
Let me just double check, though. Are you a Red Sox fan or a Cubs fan?
Oh, I'm a diehard Cub fan. Oh,
okay, I was just checking.
No, but listen, I think you have to be. I'm a realist when it comes to especially baseball. You need to keep it real, and I just think it's incredibly difficult to repeat.
Well,
I think there's a drop off.
There is,
and I also think guys like Bryce Harper are not going to be 235 hitters all year. The very best guys will always figure it out. And Bryce Harper's still hitting bombs. And I think the Nats are going to be a force before it's over. They're not right now. I get that. But they're going to be a force. And right now, the Red Sox are not getting the best out of everybody. And they're rolling teams like the Blue Jays. They take 2 or 3 from the Braves. You know, like they handle their business. And that's why I say when I keep it real in baseball, the Red Sox are the best team in baseball because they've got the hammer on the mound. They've got a stopper in Chris Sale. They're getting the goods, you know, from David Price. So that's why I think they're the best. Yeah, I know you're an Astros guy, but...
Dude, I'm not saying the Red Sox are not a good team because they're a very good team. And again, So I said yesterday, it's between the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Astros for who's the best in the AL. And that will change and fluctuate the entire year. And we're only going to get an answer when postseason comes. I mean, it's that simple. Or there's a devastating injury in one of those three teams.
By the way, Kershaw's back.
Yeah, I'm not impressed.
What do you mean you're not impressed? You just got one game. What do you mean you're not impressed?
Because I think he's going to get hurt again, and I think we've seen the best that Kershaw has to offer.
I'm not impressed.
I'm not.
Hey, by the way, Kershaw's back tonight.
Oh, my God. Kershaw's back. The world is ending. Kershaw's back.
LeBron James crumpled on the floor in pain, and this looks like a facial injury. And a left eye he looks
definitely
like he's holding.
Face injury.
Yeah, this is a left eye that he's holding. I did not see what happened.
Okay,
it doesn't look
over,
like he's
under,
bleeding.
It was Draymond.
Well, he's asking for a hand up. Somebody needs to grab his arm and help him up. Ooh, he looks legitimately shook. What happened here? Yes, it was Draymond. Good call. Oh, he got poked right in the eye. Oh, geez, that's gnarly. Oh, man, that's gnar. Draymond with his left digit just poked LeBron right in the. Oh, man, I don't want to watch that again. Anyway, Kershaw, 5 innings, 4 hits, an earned run. 1 walk, 5 Ks, 62 pitches, 42 strikes. That's a really good outing.
Yeah.
Why are you not impressed?
Because I think we've seen the best that Kershaw has to offer. And you know, the last couple postseasons.
So it's all downhill from here?
Yeah, man. It is. Yeah. Yeah.
It's all downhill from here. Ah, screw it. Kershaw should retire.
I didn't say that.
Okay. By the way, did you see my...
He's not 97 left-hander who is going to throw you 220 innings anymore.
Did you see my boy Arrieta?
Yeah, I get it.
Dominated the other night?
They offered him.
How about you? No, they lowballed him. They lowballed him. The Cubs lowballed him.
And now he's playing on a non-contending team.
The Phillies are contenders.
No, they're not.
So what, are we going back to the it's early conversation?
No, dude, they will not make the postseason. Make me a case that they will make the postseason this year.
They're a game and a half out in the East?
Right.
They're 1.5 behind Philadelphia? Or, excuse me, behind Washington? And I think that you're probably right, they don't make the postseason, but their pitching's way better than anybody thought it would be, mainly because of my boy.
Right.
But so will Milwaukee make the postseason? They're 4.5 games up in the Central.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're quality, but again, I will keep saying this, and you can keep saying I'm wrong, but I will keep saying it. I don't think Milwaukee's going to last the entire year. I don't think their pitching will hold up. I don't believe in it. I really don't believe in it. I think they're a good team. I'm not saying they suck. But I don't think they're going to hold up the whole year. I'll be real curious to see who stays the healthiest in the Central, because that's really what's going to decide it. Right?
Well,
like
Darvish
doesn't
have structural damage.
Right. So if the Cubs, let's say Darvish comes back and is just okay.
Like 500. Let's say
he's a
500
pitcher. Like, he's just okay.
Did you hear what he said the other day?
Yeah, Cub fans hate him now.
Yeah, you're right. We do.
We do.
We do. Get your ass on the mound. Get your ass on the mound and win me some games, and we'll you know, give you a golf clap. Will that make you feel better?
Get on the bump.
Yeah, will that make you feel better? Like, you, Darvish, I think, doesn't get it.
Dude.
Wow. Steph Curry at the buzzer to tie the game at the half at 56. From just inside the half-court line.
Hey, are you worried? No, I'm not.
There's the chest slap. There's the chest slap and the point to the heavens. Okay. If you're watching on Periscope, I apologize. Anyway, wait. You, Darvish, right now, and I know you told me it was early, and I told you, screw you, it's not early. You, Darvish, is a bust.
Oh, right now,
and
it's
I don't
definitely
think
a bust.
I have real reservations. When you start saying, oh, Cub fans don't like me,
you're focused
on
the wrong things, bro.
A, you're focused on the wrong things. B, I think there's a real chance he never recovers. I think that this could be a very long 2 years.
So let's tie this back to the whole tipping pitches things against the Astros. When he was a Dodger, World Series, they lit him up.
Right, batting practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it came out that he was allegedly tipping pitches.
Right.
Was he tipping
and
pitches?
And he was fat.
Oh, that too. Or is he just mentally soft? Is he just one of those guys that is just not capable?
Tipping pitches, mentally soft, and he was out of shape.
Is tipping pitches part of being mentally soft? Because I think
it
is.
Well, it's not that you were tipping pitches. It's how you recover from that. Because there's a lot of people who would say it's whether you're squeezing your glove or he was changing his grip when the ball was on his hamstring. He held the ball down in his hamstring, whatever it is. It's how you change that.
Yeah.
Whatever he did to change that in the diet and exercise program he went on didn't work. He's had routine cramping. He's now got tendonitis in his tricep or soreness in his tricep that they say is non-structural to the elbow.
Maybe he didn't need to lose the weight. I mean, I know he was thicker, but he was healthy.
Yeah, drink some water, stop the cramping, and let's go win some games. How about this, you? I know this is crazy talk, you. How about we throw fastballs down at the knees? I know. How about we mix fastball slider? Let's get crazy. Let's get crazy, and maybe you could throw not one, not two, three pitches consistently. I know. This is out of this world. This is groundbreaking stuff.
We don't do that in today's major leagues.
Maybe you could throw three pitches consistently and try to compete for the Cy Young that everybody said you were going to win when we signed you for that ludicrous amount of money that Jake Arrieta is earning and you're not. Maybe that's what it is. If you want the fans to like you, you're in the wrong line of work. This is what I said before. That being a professional athlete at a very high level can be very isolating. Yu Darvish saying that Cub fans don't like him tells you that he reads the papers, he listens to the radio, and that's a huge mistake. Because A, you've sucked. B, you're hurt. And C, there's a real chance now that you're going to get booed at Wrigley Field. And you've earned that. So no, I don't feel sorry for him. Now, who I do feel sorry for is the man whose girl buys him Crocs, which with already attached tube socks that go up to your knee. If you don't follow me on Twitter, you didn't see this today. The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Amongst the stories that will lead us out tonight, Crocs is now making a new product. They still have the holes where your manhood, your testosterone, and really your soul leaks out of those holes in your Crocs.
Yeah.
They still have those holes.
Yeah.
But now they've sewn on a tube sock so that you can put on Crocs and pull the tube sock all the way up to the back of your knee.
Oh. Well.
If you do that, don't ever come back. I'm just telling you, we can't be friends anymore. You're not welcome in my home. If you show up here wearing Crocs, I'm already going to smack you. If you show up here wearing Crocs with the already attached tube sock pulled up to your knee, you're out. I'm sorry. You're out. Would you ever consider wearing them?
No. Can't do it.
No.
I've never worn a Croc in my life.
Dude, I had the moment. And that was it. I think I wore them in Hawaii. And I may have even lost one in the ocean. I don't know. I hope that that's the thing that I can say. But if you ever show up at my house wearing Crocs with the tube sock pulled up, just get out.
Dude.
Just get out. And, you know, I guess it is what it is. Oh, Darius, come on. Darius on Periscope says, those Crocs are fresh, dude. Don't hate. No, they're not. No, they're not.
Did you play any Fortnite today?
I did.
How'd you do?
The golden gun mode is gone. I'm really upset about this. Because now there are six different modes that you can play in. And the mode that I tried first today was the group of 20 mode.
Okay.
There are five groups of 20 players that all play together. And you try to win. It sucks. Yeah, all the guns are common. There's like one chest on the entire map, it feels like. That sucked. I died in like... I was the last person left on my team. And there were not a lot of players left, and I died. And it was like, you know what, screw this.
Yeah.
Okay, so I go to the game mode where the storm is already formed over the island, and the game lasts no longer than 15 minutes. Died right on spawn, jumped out of the bus. For the first time, somebody shot at me when I jumped out of the bus. That was interesting. Never had happened before. Get right back into the same mode. Jump into a crater. Open up a couple of chests. I get a jetpack. I'm like, God damn, I'm in business. No. Put that thing on. Boom. Dead. Shot.
We'll see ya.
Yeah. Rifle shot. And it was one of those idiots in the pink bunny suit, which is just even worse than that. So I loved the free-for-all, all
gold guns,
rare guns, yeah. Golden guns. And that mode's gone now. Huge update this morning.
Disappointing.
Ugh. I just am playing free-for-all. That's it. Solo, me and 99 right? other players in solo mode, I'm good.
Yeah, man.
I don't need the BS. And just give me a scoped. Hello?
Hello.
Give me a scoped rifle, semi-automatic scoped rifle. I'm good.
Yeah.
That's really all I need. And everything will be fine.
Yeah.
But I don't like playing Fortnite by myself. Is that weird?
No.
I'm a 40-year-old guy who doesn't like playing video games alone. Like, it's just not enjoyable for me. If I can't yell at you and tell you how much you suck and I'm better than you, what's the point of playing that game?
Because it's fun to play.
Yeah, not by myself, though.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I
well,
don't
listen,
know.
But listen.
Does Uber Eats?
Don't yell. But Mrs. M is leaving town.
She is.
And so we'll have an opportunity.
My wife is going out of town for 2 weeks.
Dude.
What am I going to do for 2 weeks? She's good.
Hi.
But here's the thing. She's only going to L.A.
So go.
And get some taco surf.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, I can't drive.
No, I can drive. Anyway, here nor there. She's just going to be in L.A., which is going to be totally fine. Maybe I will. I probably won't, honestly. You know, I got other stuff to do. So it's a focus thing.
Right.
Anyway, point being, when the wife's away, I'm not sure that Fortnite will be played. I'm sure I will. But, like, we used to stay up all night when you were actually, you know...
Dude, I'm happy to do it on the weekend. I can't do it during the week.
When you were actually a man, we could stay up all night
okay.
and drink Code Red
hey,
Mountain Dew and Doritos.
Hey, you
want to
get that Mountain Dew?
Remember Call of Duty?
Dude.
When you could get the Mountain Dew packs and you would
double
have
XP.
The... Yeah, you would have double XP or you would have a bunch of free XP...
Yeah.
You know, like that's when Xbox was fun.
Yeah.
Now it's freaking Fortnite and whatever. It's fine. By the way, Kershaw pitched, Dodgers lost 2-1. Is what it is. It was a good outing for it. You're such a Dodger hater.
Yep.
You just will never say anything nice about them.
Nope.
Which is fine. Anyway, finally, speaking of you.
Yes.
Not Darvish, but you, Jake.
Yes.
Did you hear that 30-year-old millennial that sued his parents because they evicted him from their house and offered to pay for him to get an apartment and everything? Well, they sued him, evicted him. He lost. The judge kicked him out. He's now out of their house. He's finally left. He's rented an Airbnb until he finds a permanent residence.
Huh.
He's finally out. Your thoughts?
I mean, if you want me out, we can just turn the podcast off today and, like, you know, it'll be fine.
No, see, but here's the thing. I think people should stay at home as long as they can. There's this pressure, I think, in your early 20s to get out of the house as soon as you can. The biggest mistake I made is I started working because I had to way too early in my life. I was working because I had to, not because I wanted to. And I had to make decisions based on money instead of what I wanted to do. And that's the issue.
Yeah.
In my opinion, this 30-year-old guy didn't want to get a job, didn't want to pay bills, they kicked him out not because he's 30 years old. They kicked him out because he's an asshole. Like, he wouldn't do chores, he wouldn't clean, he wouldn't contribute, he wouldn't do anything. Like, he would slam the door in his mom's face, he would tell her to leave him alone. Like, he just was a jerk.
Right.
Why be a jerk? They're letting you stay at home rent-free. Do the dishes. Take the garbage out. Bring the garbage cans in. You like, do your laundry. Take a shower. Get a job, loser. Like, I mean, if you're 30 years old and you're on the couch because you don't want to go look for a job, that's a you problem.
Right.
If you're 30 years old and you're just chilling at home because that's what works, I'm good with that. If you're working and bettering your life and moving forward, and I don't care what you do. But if you're 30 years old on the couch playing Fortnite all day, not looking for a job, we're gonna have a conversation.
Right.
And it's probably not gonna end well.
Yeah.
You know, so whatever. Are you bucking to move out?
Not bucking. I think it's a natural. I've always been of the opinion it's a natural evolution of a person.
Yes, like it is.
It just kind of happens. It just happens.
It changes who you are when you gotta do for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm bucking. I just think it's destined to happen at some point.
When you move out, will there be some bucking in your new place?
Oh, for sure.
Say goodbye, Jake.
Bye, Jake.